team, time to talk some cricket. The third test at Headingley only a couple of days away, and we need to get inside the camp and find out what the hell is going on after the Lord's Test match. Brad Haddin, assistant coach of the Aussies, and he's been good enough to join us again on the program. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, it's all happening over here, mate, but it's all happening over there. This is what we're reading, we're seeing, we're watching. Steve Smith gone. How close was the call?
Yeah, I think... With protocol, how it is, he was able to go out and bat the night after he got hit, or the night of getting hit. He passed everything he had to do. Then that night, he had some symptoms of concussion, didn't pull up that well. So with a short turnaround, after being ruled out with concussion, he wasn't going to be fit for this test match. So common sense prevailed, and he's out of the test match. But this is a great opportunity to find an Ashes hero. So, we're looking forward to whoever comes in.
Looking forward to finding that hero. Just on Steve, I imagine that wasn't a conversation he would have been too keen to have, to be told he wasn't going to be able to play. Did he try and fight it?
No, he didn't. He understood the enormity of what happened. And after not passing the concussion test over the couple of days, it was an easy decision. But we've got some... of the world's best medical staff, and these decisions aren't taken lightly. But protocols, all the protocol he had to pass, he didn't pass. So he was comfortable with the decision. Obviously, you want your best players playing as much cricket as possible, but on this occasion, he wasn't fit for selection.
I was sitting on the couch at about midnight when it happened, and it was such an unnerving thing to watch on television. What was it like in the change rooms when it happened, particularly considering the obvious history with a similar incident?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you're just concerned for the player's safety, and you want to get someone out there and get eyes on them as quick as you possibly can to see what's going on. And once you know he's okay, then you breathe that little bit easier. It was definitely a pretty hostile spell. I thought for an entertainment day, it was a great test match, especially after all the weather we had. And we didn't think we were really going to get much of a spectacle, but gee whiz, the patrons at Lord's definitely got the money's worth over the test match.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, obviously, Steve has been batting so well. How unsettling is it for the group now that he's now unavailable to play for the third test?
Oh, the group's okay. We obviously got ruled out today, so... Our preparations now about making sure we get the right 11 to win this test match at Leeds. I think if it dragged on for a couple of days, it could have been unsettling for the group. But with the decision being made early, training was really good today. The batters and bowlers had a great hit out. So it's not that unsettling. It's disappointing that Steve is not available for this test match. But it's... Because it was done so early, everyone's right to go.
And do you think it changes the approach at all, him missing?
In what way? Our approach?
Yes.
Oh, it's obviously he's your best player at the moment. He's a big part of the team. But one thing about it is that you find heroes in these sort of moments. Like, you only have to look at the way Marnus played when he came in as the sub. He turned up to Lord's for 3 days, mixing drinks, training, and all of a sudden he's tapped on the shoulder and asked to go out and save a test match for Australia. So, yeah, it was pretty extraordinary circumstances, but they were not unsettled.
And, gee, he handled it so incredibly well, particularly after being hit as well. And, you know, now we look at Jofra Archer and think, geez, sending that ball down so quickly. What are the players saying about... potentially or probably having to face up to him again?
They're okay. He bowled some quick balls. But we've got four of those guys that bowl that sort of pace as well. It was a difficult wicket to face fast bowling on. He was up and down, so it was hard to duck under and get the read of the bounce with the inconsistency of the bounce in the wicket and the slope. So it was all blown up a little bit there because of the inconsistency of the wicket. But from a pace bowling, the guys in Australians, we've grown up with pace and bounce. It was just the inconsistency of the wicket.
The wicket at Headingley, we believe, is going to be a bit faster than the Lord's one. We've had Mitch Stark miss the first two tests. Brad, James Pattinson had a bit of a sit. What are we expecting from the Aussie bowling lineup this week?
I tell you what you're expecting. We've got a full list of quicks ready to go. It was quite a hostile net session today with guys looking for selection, which is what, as coaching staff, what we want. We want Mitchell Stark, James Pattinson doing everything they possibly can to push their way into the test team. So from that point of view, we've got a decision to make tomorrow after we have a good look at the wicket. We had a little look today, and it looked a little, I think I said this last week, it looked a little drier than what we expected, but we'll have a close look tomorrow and see what quicks are best suited for it.
The top order, Brad, it's how are you assessing that at the moment? Obviously, David particularly hasn't done so well, and Bancroft a bit the same. Is it down to poor batting, or is it actually down to really high quality bowling? How do you assess how they're going at the moment?
I think both players that want more runs. If you look at the trend of the series, it's been pretty tough at the top of the order for most. I know Burns has got a couple of scores for England, but it's been quite challenging conditions at the top. But like David, for example. He's got 20-something hundreds, and with where the test series at the moment, we're one win away from retaining the Ashes. So with a player like David Warner, he can take a test match away from you in an hour and a half or a session. So that's what we're encouraging them to do is just trust what their preparation. There have been a lot great players for a long time, and yeah, just get out there and react to what you see.
Is it as simple as Marnus plays in Steve Smith's absence because of what happened at Lord's and the success of that, or now you've got a bit of time to breathe, you look at potentially bringing in someone like a Marcus Harris towards the top of the order? What do you do there?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, the way Marnus played, he's definitely put his hand up to walk straight back into Steve's spot. You also could possibly have a look at someone like a Mitch Marsh as well, coming in for that all-rounder. But we've got some decisions to make around selection. The obvious one is Dan Marnus comes in for Steve.
And before I let you go, we spoke last week about the lunch at Lord's and the queue getting into the room. What's the lunch like at Headingley?
Oh, I haven't been here for a while, but I can update you next week if I'm back. But I think a few of our staff hit the treadmill over the last day. Make sure that chocolate pudding and that sponge cake comes off.
Oh, goodness me. It could be a long tour for some of the staff if that's the way things are rolling after the second test. We appreciate your time. No doubt we'll chat to you next week because you're on the roster. It's great to have you, Brad. Good luck to you and the team on Thursday night.
Thanks for